T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Crowder knows this song as the one where Drake sings in Spanish.
I don't keep up with music.
I asked Valera to play this song because we work in the same building as Power 96, and it is generally their music that is on in the hallways. It is not our chat. It is not the music of Kiss 99.9. It is the music of Power 96, and I feel like the song is on Power 96 all the time.
How many stations are in this building?
Three.
And we're never played across the big speaker.
No. I remember when I was working at 790, there was a war over who controlled, because there was like a little knob in the hallway over which station was playing. And so, like, you basically were meant to defend your turf. So if it was on one station, you'd turn it to yours. So I'd always put it on 790 across the building. But that doesn't exist here. I haven't found the knob that controls
the
music.
No, there is a knob.
There's a
it
knob?
It just doesn't control the station. It just controls the
volume. The volume. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
We got to get Tree on that, Lero.
Yeah, there was a war between the shark and the beach and light and the ticket for who would control the radio station in that building.
And I've been there 10 years and we've never been.
We're
not gonna
make
it.
You've been here for 10 years.
Yeah.
Well,
when I started, I was doing radio when I was playing.
That's right.
Yep.
Manny Navarro is joining us here on 560 WQM. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Manny, how you doing, sir? Is the Bad Bunny song Mia as ubiquitous in your life as it is in mine?
I'll tell you what, my daughters are playing that stuff all the time, and they're 7 and 3, man. Like, they're booty shaking to that song.
It's a bit early for that. It's a bit early for that.
Come on.
It is a bit early, man. I got to crack down on that.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get a hold of their Spotify account, it seems. Or the YouTube, or how it is they're listening to music these days.
Nothing's wrong with a spanking, Manny. There's nothing wrong with a spanking. Just want to let you know that.
That's ridiculous. What a ridiculous advice.
It is.
All right, so we've been talking about this Tate Martell thing, and really just in general, the spread in college football of transfers going through with waivers that allow players to play straight away, and just kind of the precedent that it's setting, which is basically, if you don't play in year one or in year two, you're going to leave. And if that's necessarily a good thing in college football, what do you make of the fact that this waiver was granted, basically on the basis of, according to the Herald's reporting, and I would imagine your reporting is in keeping with this, that Ohio State basically said, well, we agree with Martell's assessment that we're not going to play him, so it's okay for him to go, that basically schools are now okay with kids leaving?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. I don't think this is going to be a widespread thing. But, you know, working with Nicole Auerbach, she's our senior writer for College Football at The Athletic, and she's dealt with a bunch of these transfer cases. And talking to her last night about, you know, with Tate Martell, I mean, a lot of this was just because Ohio State was cool with it. And I think really what we're going to see moving forward is, as long as a school who's losing an athlete isn't causing an uproar or sort of standing in the way, then the NCAA is going to go ahead and let that player transfer. So I wouldn't say it's full-fledged free agency. I know people are getting on social media and saying, all right, that's it. Everybody's going to be transferring every you know, other day now. I don't think that's the case at all. I think in the end, it's going to be up to the schools involved. And if they can find peace with it, then you'll see players able to move. And in the cases that you don't find peace, I would tend to think the old rule of having to sit out a year is going to stay in place.
But like, it's lining up to where how Tate left. They got Justin Fields and Tate left, Manny. Like, now Tate's here, so then it's inevitable that Darren Williams or Nicosi leaves, correct?
Probably. I would guess that at the end of this spring or sometime this summer, those guys are going to look at where they think they stand in the quarterback race and probably make the decision to say, I've got a better shot of playing somewhere else. So you're right. I mean, I think it's just the way things are going to be from now on. I think, you know, quarterbacks are going to always take a hard look at their situation and say, I want to get on the field. How do I do that? And so they're going to make the decision to leave. And I think it's that, more than anything, I think that position is where you're going to see the biggest shifting, because, you know, the other positions, receiver, running back, you know, going in, you're going to have to compete for playing time wherever you are at that school for those type of spots. But quarterback, it's kind of like a one-man show most places. So I would tend to think that that's the position we're going to see move the most.
And down in Coral Gables, what is this, day two of spring, is there a legit, real quarterback competition?
I mean, I think you'd have to think that Tate Martell would be the favorite, just because why would he transfer here without having some sort of strong feelings about his opportunity to play? But that said, I know that from somebody who watched practice today, he didn't look all that good. I was there to watch 7-on-7 work, but one of the guys who stuck around to see some of the 11-on-11 stuff that they were doing, he said he was, you know, very errant with his passes. And I know he stuck around afterward to put in some extra work with KJ Osborne, one of the graduate transfer receivers they got. So, you know, I don't think it's a slam dunk that Tate Martell is going to be the starting quarterback, but I certainly think he's on his way to hitting a layup for the job.
And that would sort of be interesting to me if he's not even that much of an improvement, because then obviously you're back at square one at the position, which is, well, we have Nkosi, who is okay at times and terrible at others, and then this new guy who's not even good enough to beat him out. But at the same time, where we stand right now, I think 6 months of practice might change the current perspective, and really, okay, just, and really, you know, the fact that the waiver comes in, and that would presumably change the perspective of how Tate Martell is even approaching this. But the fact that the offense has undergone this transformation, that kind of makes the beginning of the Manny Diaz era an unbridled success, almost no matter if this quarterback situation works out, because they've made such changes, and that's kind of what was called for.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you look at it, and you go back and you watch that Pinstripe Bowl loss, if you really want to, you know, if you're a Hurricanes fan and want to just gouge your eyes out, you watch that game again. But I did. I went back and I saw it. And it was just, you know, Wisconsin knew exactly what was coming. And you got that sense for many weeks with this Miami offense, where there really weren't many wrinkles that was confusing the defense. There weren't many plays that you know, Mark Richt and his offense were confusing people. Miami was beating teams offensively because you had running backs making, you know, elite runs. And you had, you know, a few playmakers, a receiver like Jeff Thomas, or a Brevin Jordan making great catches. It wasn't because, you know, there was any sort of trickery that really kept the defense on their toes. And I think with this offense, not only is it much more complex with movement and so forth and motion, I think, you know, it's just a better offense from everything you're hearing from the players. I mean, you know, Mike Harley today said he feels like a bird who's been freed from his cage. You know, like, you know, here's a kid who at times looked really good in the slot catching passes and was clearly frustrated by not getting the ball more last year. And now he's talking about how he feels free. And a lot of other guys do too. I think, you know, you talk about Jeff Thomas, a kid who you thought needed to get the ball in his hands more just because of how explosive he was. I think this offense is going to be much more geared towards whatever has to be done to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And so I think from that perspective, Danny Enos, getting him, it's a huge victory for Manny Diaz. They're going to be a much better team offensively.
And day two, because I've heard that same those same reports, Manny. 2 days of spring, and you can already tell the offense is more complex, more modern. You can really tell the difference with the offense only in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, just because you see the defense, the way that they're talking about it. You know, you see players like Michael Pinckney and Shaq Quarterman, two guys that, you know, have been three-year starters, and they're like, we're challenged now. We actually feel like in practice we're getting challenged by what we're going against, and it's a huge difference. And you see it in the faces of the defensive players, the way that they're reacting. You know, they're not always there to make every single play. And again, it's practice, Channing. Obviously, we got a long way to go. It's only two practices in, but you're asking me how much of a drastic change. I certainly think it's a drastic change.
Oh, no, that's big, because, like, you wouldn't – the second day of you should be installing your offense. It's a new OC.
Right.
But for everybody, because I've read, you know, the players saying it, and then the media, like everybody that's seen a practice, they're saying, I can see a difference in this offense. It's not even, you know, I'm almost questioning what Richt and him did last year for it to be that recognizable this early.
That was going to be my question, which is, did Mark Richt's ideas get old? Did he not think enough of the team to give them complex ideas? Like, those are pretty damning and scathing indictments of the previous regime.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think some of it was Richt feeling as though, and I heard this several times from players and coaches throughout the season, that, you know, he didn't think that some of his players were necessarily capable of running more complex things. And I think maybe part of that had to do with the guys he had at quarterback. I mean, you know, one thing we heard about Nkosi Perry before he ever started a game at Miami from his own high school coach, who I spoke to, was, hey, you know, throw complex defenses at him, and he needs some help. He's going to need somebody to teach him those things. And I think just in general, I think that just affected the entire offense, was the abilities of the quarterbacks to read defenses, make changes. We heard stories about making changes on the offensive line, you know, picking up blitzes and what directions they were coming from. The center had to handle that job last year because Nikosi really couldn't do it. So I think, you know, one way or the other here, Dan Enos is figuring out ways to fix things. And certainly the defense has noticed after 2 days that things look a lot different from their perspective than it did a year ago.
It's too early to really get an estimation on what this will be. We're joined here by Manny Navarro of The Athletic. But what would you say Dan Enos' offensive philosophy is from a scheme point of view? Because I don't know if it's necessarily what we saw at Alabama, because Nick Saban obviously has an input and there's a lot of size there and it's a little bit of a different talent base. What do we know about what Dan Enos is going to run offensively?
Well, I know this. I know Dan Enos has run a lot of different schemes in all the years that he's been coaching offenses, in terms of what he asks his quarterback to do, what he asks his running backs to do. I know at Arkansas, before he was at Alabama, you know, running that offense. I mean, it was a lot of two tight end sets. He had Hunter Henry, had some really good personnel. I think what he has with the Hurricanes is very similar, you know, with Reverend Jordan, Will Mallory. I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets. A lot of situations where guys are just moving in motion, rollouts. One thing you got to remember here, Chris, too, is that Miami's offensive line is, I don't want to call it completely in shambles, but you only got two guys back who really played last year extensively, and Navon Donaldson and DJ Scaife. And those guys were, you know, sophomores and freshmen last year. So those guys have been shifted to the left side this spring. They were on the right side last year, and you got basically three new starters on that line. And so I think you're going to see a lot of rollouts, a lot of quick throws. That's kind of what I'm expecting once the season starts, because it's going to take some time for those offensive linemen to gel and really be trusted.
And speaking of the O-line with Tommy Kennedy, he's a grad transfer from Butler. Him coming in, K.J. Osborne, Asa Martin, the running back. Are any of those guys, are they going to contribute? Do you see him jumping off the field to you when you watch him? Are you impressed by him?
Well, I can tell you Kennedy is not even running with the first team yet, at least from what we've been able to see. And he was a guy that, had high expectations. I know Oklahoma and Auburn were fighting with Miami to get him, and somebody who saw him today told me he looks more like a 1AA offensive lineman than he does a guy who's ready to start in the ACC. But he was a two-year starter at Butler, and somebody that Miami's coaching staff had high hopes for as a grad transfer. So I'd expect that by the time the season rolls around, he will probably have worked himself into the starting lineup there. K.J. Osborne's the guy who you've seen the most immediate impact from, and really it's been from a leadership perspective, because that receiver room, really, it was three juniors, and one of those guys was Jeff Thomas, who was kicked off the team last year. So, you know, Miami needed some veteran leadership. KJ's come in. He's really led a lot of those guys in off-season workouts, and the coaching staff absolutely loves him. So I think he's a guy that you're going to see in the rotation and feel his impact. Asa Martin's not going to play this year. He played in 5 games last year for Auburn, so he would need an NCAA transfer waiver to play, and right now, Manny Diaz actually said today that they're not even thinking about that for him. So he'll sit out the season. So I would say, Kennedy and Osborne are the two guys you'll probably see the most of on the offensive side.
Manny Navarro, check him out on The Athletic Miami and on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Manny Navarro joining us here on 560 WQAM. Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder here until 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.